As we stand, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of Scripture that we have read today. We pray that you would shine your light upon us, that you may speak to us through your word. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, please do be seated. So on this Sunday, we are celebrating the Epiphany, and we are remembering the Magi, the wise men, coming to Jesus at Bethlehem. And we have just heard that famous passage from chapter 2 of Matthew's Gospel. And as we think about this familiar part of the Nativity, I want to start by taking you all the way back to the time of the Exodus. God had led the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and they were going to cross the wilderness before entering the Promised Land. And God wanted to be in relationship with his people, a covenant relationship. He would be their God, they would be his people. And he would be in the midst of them. But how could this extraordinary holy God dwell among ordinary unholy people? The answer was the tabernacle. You may remember that the tabernacle was a kind of mobile temple. It was a rectangular frame tent that could be transported and assembled wherever the people set up camp. And wherever they did set up camp, the tabernacle was erected right in the middle, with the tents of the people encircling it. And the tabernacle tent was surrounded by a very large curtain held up on wooden poles. You need to imagine something like a windbreak on a beach, but plain white, taller than a person, and over 400 feet long. The curtain created a large rectangular courtyard, and the tabernacle sat in the middle. So to get to the tabernacle, you had to enter through an opening at one end of the courtyard. And when you did, standing between you and the tabernacle was an altar. This was not like the wooden tables that we have in churches. This was a large structure designed for burning animal sacrifices. And then when you reached the tabernacle itself, you'd find that, like the courtyard, it was rectangular in shape with the entrance at one of the narrow ends. When you entered, you would see at the far end another curtain. This shielded a separate section at the back. This was the most holy place. And behind that curtain was the Ark of the Covenant. It was in there that God put his hallowed name. No one thought that God actually lived in there, but this holy, holy, holy place symbolized God's presence among the people. Now, here's the thing. The Israelites were given instructions about the size and shape of the tabernacle and courtyard. And they were told that whenever they set up camp, the tabernacle and courtyard had to be erected so that their entrances were facing due east towards the sunrise. The journey towards God's presence was a journey from east to west. You entered the courtyard at its eastern end. You walked westwards towards the altar. You walked further west to get to the eastern end of the tabernacle. And then the tabernacle was orientated east-west. So once you entered the tabernacle, you continued going westward towards the most holy place at the far western end. The arrangement of the tabernacle was a gift from God to his people. And it gives us this symbolic picture of being far from God in the east and coming from the east towards God. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, something far better than the ark was there. This was not just a thing symbolizing God's presence. This was not a holy place in which God would put his hallowed name. This was God himself, God incarnate, God in flesh. Now, when I described the courtyard and temple, I casually talked about strolling into the courtyard and into the tabernacle. But of course, there was nothing casual about it. You could only enter the courtyard if you were an Israelite, a descendant of Jacob. And you couldn't get too close to the tabernacle without bringing a sacrifice to offer. And if you were an ordinary Israelite, there was no way that you could enter the tabernacle itself. It was absolutely out of bounds. You wouldn't even be able to look inside. If you were a male descendant of Aaron and had been consecrated as a priest, you could enter the tabernacle. But even then, you were not allowed behind the curtain that shielded the far western end, the holy place where the ark was placed. Only one man, the high priest, could enter, and he could do so only once a year, and only then with the blood of a sacrificed animal and the smoke of burning incense. It was no easy or casual thing to journey from east to west to come into the presence of God. But now, Jesus has been born. And as it famously says at the beginning of John's Gospel, he made his dwelling among us. And there are a couple of English translations of the Bible that translate that verse in John chapter 1 as, "And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us." And as God took up residence on earth, he sent a sign to the Magi. And where were the Magi? In the east. They are not descendants of Aaron. They are not even descendants of Jacob. Geographically, they are far away to the east, and spiritually, they are far away to the east. But God reached out to them with a star. The one who made the heavens can command his creation. He sends an appropriate sign for stargazers, and they come. They journey from east to west to come into the presence of Jesus, into the presence of the incarnate Son of God. God reaching out to draw the Magi from the east, close to himself, is a wonderful encouragement for anyone who is, or who feels as if they are, far from God. There are times when we do distance ourselves from God. We might consciously choose to distance ourselves from him. At other times we slide away, we give in to temptation, or find that events and circumstances lead us to behave unkindly to other people. Our words and actions, even our thoughts, can become ungodly. And we are moving spiritually towards the east, away from God. The word repentance is about turning. Using the symbolism of the east to west tabernacle, repentance is recognizing an eastward drift, and then choosing to turn back to God. the wonderful news that Matthew shares with us when he records the Magi's journey is that God calls those who are far away and welcomes them to come to him. This is also true when we simply feel far from God. Most of us, perhaps all of us, at times feel as if we are far from God. The Magi's experience speaks to us in those times as well. When you feel far from God, don't give up. Don't be dismayed. Keep praying. Keep worshipping. And let him draw you to himself. And finally, we must remember that there is another important message here, and that's to do with our attitude to other people. We as individual Christians are called to journey towards the likeness of Christ. And we as the Christian church are called to continue Christ's mission on earth. And that means sharing God's heart. God has a heart for those who are far from him. We may be tempted sometimes to look at some people as being so ungodly as to be beyond reach. But the Magi remind us that God calls people who are far, far off to the east to journey towards himself and to find their relationship with God in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen.